put a spell on you. Cause you're mine.
Welcome to Hex Rated, where we three witches will take you on a magical journey through foul language and hilarious judgment.
You know I can't stand it. You're running around. You know better, daddy.
Right on, episode 7.
Welcome
What's up?
How's everybody been doing?
Good. What's going on?
I was asking the internet.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Shit.
No, I'm kidding. I'm asking you.
I'm good. How are your holiday festivities? It was a nice break for you, though, right?
Yeah, 2 weeks off, teacher.
Oh, so awesome. So jealous.
My husband's parents got me some witch books for
really?
A present. Yeah, they didn't know what to get me. And they
That's so sweet.
Well, his stepdad like drums in a cowboy church band. So they really went out on a limb. They're kind of like, you know, Wicca 101 books, but...
But they tried.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, I was really surprised.
That's pretty. That's very accepting.
No, it's extraordinarily accepting. It's not just acknowledging that I practice witchcraft, but going to a store, looking at the books, reading the titles, throwing down some cash. Like,
that's
as a gesture, awesome. That's really amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
I also got a witchcraft book from a friend. I have one friend. Yes.
You only have one friend?
Only the one.
It's not us.
I have the one friend.
Not I.
She lives in St. Louis, and she sends me a book every birthday.
Aww.
And this year she got me this very... it seems to be very interesting for nonfiction. Like, it seems fast-moving, but it's all about the Salem witch trials, so... And the theories surrounding the reasoning. Yeah. Real.
I also just got a book.
What's your book?
I just bought Yes Please, Amy Poehler's memoir.
I really want to read that.
I'll let you borrow it after I'm done. It's fabulous.
Is it?
I love Amy Poehler.
I just saw this BuzzFeed list that was like top however many times that Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were like feministing all up in this bitch, and that was not the title of it. But
I wish it were.
I wish it was.
But there was a funny blurb about it where apparently people ask them all the time what they fight about.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, does anyone ask like Will Ferrell and like Marky Mark what they fight about? Like,
yeah, no, that'd be dumb.
You don't ever ask dudes that, and it's the idea that like two women are going to be so catty that even though they're ostensibly besties
and have been
like,
friends since their 20s
and professional collaborators, that somehow they would have tiffs
fight.
About have some kind of little cat fight about some lady shit. I don't know,
such bullshit.
What does that say about, I don't know, the questions that people ask women versus the questions that people ask men? You know what I'm saying? Like,
it
would you really ask two dudes? You would never ask.
Well, now I'm
going
to.
Well, I didn't even. I mean, obviously, like, it's on my radar when people ask women, like, oh, how do you balance motherhood and your job? What, like,
right.
You would never ask a man that. That would be a really weird question. So, that's on my radar. But, like, what do you fight about? Like, obviously, it's very sexist. But it wasn't even on my radar as something that's gendered that one group. Oh, and then they had a hilarious screen cap of some asshole on the red carpet that was asking them what was in their purses.
Oh, yeah, their faces. It was a gif. Oh, their faces. Priceless.
Yeah.
That's
so
insane and makes me weep a little for humanity.
But the moral of the story is Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
They're awesome.
So
they're
amazing. So
they
amazing.
Don't, yeah, and they always have the best responses to everything.
Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, if you ever listen to our podcast,
love you
so much.
You can only dream.
Oh, man, and I rewatched their old Saturday Night Live news. One where they were talking about Hillary, which I'm actually not really a Hillary supporter for a variety of reasons, but her being a lady is not one of them. And so they were saying, you know, a lot of people say Hillary's a bitch, and Tina Fey's like, you know what? You're right. She is. And so am I, and so is this one over here. And, you know,
bitches get shit done. Not really speaking of bitches, but so the Sarah Ann Lawless. Love Sarah Ann Lawless. Love her. Sarah Ann Lawless, have you ever listened to our podcast?
We love you so much.
We can only dream. Exact callback.
But no, so there's this, I don't know, maybe some of our four listeners have heard about
the
Many Gods West convention, mm-hmm. the polytheist convention that's going to go on in August out in Washington. And Washington State is my old stomping ground. I grew up there. And I was thinking about going to this convention out in Olympia, I think, because Sarah Ann Lawless was going to be the keynote speaker. And that's really all the only reason I wanted to go, like, is just to see her.
Yeah, we're not joking. We love her so much.
Yeah, no, we really, Sarah Ann Lawless, we really, really like you. You're so nice and awesome.
You're a badass. Cool,
and your blog is awesome.
She's never going to be our friend now, you guys.
I know.
You're really cool.
Damn it, Sarah Ann Lawless.
We sold it too hard. We sold it too hard.
But anyways, she was going to be the keynote speaker, and like a couple days ago on their Facebook page, they announced that she was not going to be the keynote speaker anymore because for some dumb reason they didn't realize that she was an animist or didn't quite realize that she wasn't exactly a polytheist or I don't know. They phrased it really, really dumb and stupid and they're dumb.
Well, I mean, the thing that upsets me is it's just super rude to uninvite someone to something.
Yeah.
Like,
unless she murdered somebody or was like a rapist.
Or was, yeah, but... But so, I mean, just but under normal circumstances, very rude to uninvite somebody. But beyond that, yeah, they're on their mission statement, they say explicitly that they specifically welcome ancestor worship and animism because, of course, even if you're a polytheist, and which technically means you believe in multiple gods, that's the definition of that. But mm-hmm. you can also believe in other intermediate spirits between you and divinity, so, you know, like angels or demons or devas or nymphs or animal totems or ancestors. So, and that's specifically what Sarah Ann Lawless writes a lot about. So I don't really see what the problem is. But that got me thinking about kind of what we three define ourselves as being polytheist, pagan, animist, none of the above. So I thought we could talk about that a little bit. So really the question to y'all would be, what is divinity and how many is it?
Oh, that is a big question.
Like God big, universe big.
It's as big as the universe. That's what divinity is to me.
Wham.
The universe. I mean.
Okay, hit stop. We're done.
Wait, I thought you were being serious. Yeah, the end.
That was it. We solved it.
Blackbird solved the fucking...
Bye, you guys.
And if you don't believe the way I do, you're dumb.
Then you should go to this stupid...
Many Gods West conference. Oh, I think we're just bad-mouthing. Bad-mouthing a
don't
thing.
Don't mean to bad-mouth, no. But like, that's I do. Just a
it's
shitty,
a shitty thing,
thing
to do.
Do.
And then if you read further in the comments, the Many Gods West person is like, I'm the co-founder and, you know, we can't have somebody that disavows polytheism. And somebody else made the point. Look, she didn't disavow it.
Yeah.
She just said she's not normally, like, you know, it was just...
Well, so it seems like what's really at the root of this is there's a split between, quote-unquote, hard polytheism and, I guess, the inverse, which would be soft polytheism.
Like everybody else.
But technically, polytheism just means a belief and or worship of multiple gods.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that encompasses... seeing those gods as personifications or being deified ancestors or being archetypes or being emanations of one kind of source deity or, you know, emanations of sort of some kind of, you know, transcendent divine essence that is all through creation or something like that. Whereas, and that would all fall under soft polytheism. Hard polytheism was where each individual god in myth is its own self-contained identity, its own persona, its own, so goddesses of the hunt, so like Artemis, Diana, you know, Neith, or they're not version, or Kali, like these are not all aspects of a similar current, they are each individual deities, not to be confused with one another, the same way individual human beings would not be confused for one another. It seems like, now I'm not saying all hard polytheists are like this, but I'm going to go ahead and say, this is how they seem like, that they are really emotionally invested in having their gods be quote-unquote real, as opposed to just archetypes or whatever. It seems like that just, like, drives them crazy. Like, that's somehow diminishing in some way, which I disagree with, but okay, fair enough. But so they're so devoted to having this idea of their gods being real and being individuals with personalities and histories and birth dates and relationships with other deities and stuff, that I think they get really defensive. So the idea of having somebody who has a looser interpretation of that, while supposedly the conference is supposed to cover the topics of animism and ancestor worship, which can be part of or separate from polytheism itself, they said they can't in good conscience.
Yeah, that's real, like harsh words to be using. You can't in good conscience.
But oh my God, I think that would be a great keynote speaker. I would love to hear somebody who...
I'd like to know how many people are not fucking going to this thing.
Oh my God, yeah.
Seriously, this was a really bad political move on their part. I don't know
anything.
Sal's
way more famous than you are,
motherfuckers. I don't know jack shit about these people or their conference or, you know, but I mean, you don't ask somebody to do a thing and then... take it back.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody asked me to be the godmother of their child one time
and then took it
and
back.
Took it back. Yeah.
That is so
shitty.
That
fucking
shitty.
Happened in my life. Yeah, I forgot
shit
all
shit like
that
this. Don't ask
now.
People to be the keynote speaker.
You
don't
know
ask
what happens.
People to be the godmother of your child and then take it back.
It's probably good.
That's some fairy tale shit. That's how you get some sleep.
That's how you get cursed.
Yeah, that's
man.
How you get some Sleeping Beauty action up in your house.
Right?
Right? Yeah.
You should have done that.
They didn't.
I kind of wasn't really a Catholic anymore, so it's all right.
Whatever.
I know. I'm just saying.
My godparents aren't Catholics. I technically have godparents because I was baptized. Yeah.
I did too.
Yeah. They're not Catholics.
I don't think
you want some? We'll be your godparents. What's up?
You can have two godmothers.
Okay.
Be goddess mother.
Oh, we can co-parent together.
That's cheesy.
This is all weird.
Anyways, here's the thing.
Yeah.
The term hard should really only be applied to penises. Like, when it's applied to religion, that's what happens, though. It's just a dick move.
Oh,
that was real good. Wow, that was real good.
I love it.
God, Lily, on fire.
Yeah, we're going to make shirts this
season. But, like, here's the thing. Like, that's just as bad as a fundamentalist or an extremist in any religion.
Absolutely.
Like,
it's
the
exact
same
fight. If
you're a hard Muslim, that's probably, like...
That sounds really scary.
Yeah,
so.
if you're a hard Christian, you're the Westboro Baptist Church. Yeah, like, if you're a hard anything...
It's all very unpalatable to me.
You're so... But what it screams to me is that you are so concerned with making sure that you're right because you are so insecure with your beliefs or your decisions that you have to try to
force other people out or just not include other people.
Yeah, those other people are wrong. So so I must be right.
It's all
about, so you have to make yourself feel better.
It's all about exclusivity.
And I'm not saying that's what the Many Gods West people did. No. I'm just saying if you go too extreme with like hard polytheism or hard anything besides a dick. What?
And even those, time and place.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
place.
You don't whip that out, man.
It's true.
Just say.
True.
Other topic, dick pics. Don't send them.
All right, back on track. So.
What is the nature of divinity?
Like I was saying, for me it is the universe. It is in all things. It is in all living things and sometimes even dead things. I mean, I don't know, like anything that comes from or is on this planet that we're on.
Or this universe.
Or in this universe. Yeah, like if I could go somewhere else and find that out, that would be great too. But right, it's in everything. And to me, it's an energy that flows through everything. And it's a connective energy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I do not choose to call that God. But I just don't.
I think it's being raised Christian that I tend to steer away from the term gods.
Right. Yep.
I go for like deities or,
right.
or instead of saying
entity.
God, I say like the divine
right.
and things like that.
Exactly.
I do too.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, and I agree with you guys, which technically that would be the definition of pantheism
yeah.
where
mm-hmm, yes.
where the universe or existence, creation, nature, whatever is synonymous with the divine. So how would y'all respond to the concept of panentheism, which is the same thing, except also the divine also exists independent of the universe, like so beyond and outside of it?
I would say yes.
Yeah,
I'm
even
not,
though my mind can't even really comprehend that
I don't
shit,
know about
yes.
that.
I don't know. I mean,
I mean, if you believe in multiverses, I would say the divine inhabits all of them.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know if there's something outside the universe.
But is it
or that existed before the universe.
Just blew my mind.
I'm going to, jury's out on that one.
Shit.
I'm going to say I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't know. I can't, that is very hard for me to conceptualize, but I believe that there might be more than one universe. So I would think that this force exists in all dimensions and universes. I don't know.
You can have multiple, yeah, multiple universes, multiple dimensions.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marvel has the multiverse, so we can have it too.
Yeah,
it exists in comic books. It can exist for us.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that an energy, whether it's the same energy, but an energy would exist in all of those.
And then would y'all consider yourselves animists, which is a similar but different idea that each non-human and human entity, so animals, plants, inanimate objects, has its own spirit or essence. So if you're a pantheist, then you would believe that, yeah, because everything, every atom has the divine essence in it. But I guess the difference might be, and one can encompass the other, but in animism, that divine, that spiritual essence in each thing wouldn't necessarily be united as part of the same universal divine force, but in pantheism it would be that everything is united as part of this one force. Does that make sense?
I'm following you.
I think that maybe for me it's a little column A, column B. Like, I feel like everything by nature of being, like, made of atoms and or antimatter in this universe is part of that fabric,
mm-hmm. right?
Of the Agreed. Divine,
right?
But yeah. On the other hand, like, you know, it can kind of congeal and fix itself into these little pockets of autonomy and free will and stuff like that. So yeah, I would say a little bit of both.
Yeah, I feel like I'm right there with you.
And me as well. We have no discerning opinions on this.
And me like as Tina well. Fey and Amy Poehler, we don't argue about
we
anything.
We don't fight.
I was actually thinking then, like, what would I say if somebody asked us what we thought about? What could I make up that would sound hilarious? And I couldn't think of anything because I can't even imagine a world
faces
where
faces on animals.
Are like, you're like really so upset about something.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that there were definite, tangible challenges in the Derby universe. It wasn't fighting. It was civil fucking discourse, is what we did.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers.
The whole civil fucking discourse.
That's right. It was.
Roller derby is good for so many things and bad.
Civil
for
discourse
so many
is not one of them.
Oh my god, that's a whole other.
Anyways,
podcast, y'all.
True.
We could do that
well,
too.
Moving on.
So, in terms of the realm of agnosticism or atheism, I mean, we just announced that we're animist, pantheist, sort of polytheists. However, I guess for me, I kind of always hold agnosticism or atheism in reserve, you know? Like, I'm willing to keep operating the way I'm operating as new information or new insights come to me. Mm-hmm. So if one day I'm like, you know what, I think all this these feelings I've had that things are connected or that there's the divine or that there are gods or entities or archetypes, that, you know, that's all just firings in my brain, like aspects of my unconscious. Like, mm-hmm. I want to believe that those experiences would still be meaningful to me, even if I didn't think that its origin was something outside of myself.
Yeah.
So that's something that I always try to keep in the back of my mind as an option, because I don't know for sure, even though I feel pretty confident.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, and I feel like my beliefs are fluid and flexible and, like, ever-changing with new information and new experiences as life goes on. And that's going back to the hard polytheism, that's the problem with being hard, unless you're a dude.
Hard anything.
That's the problem with being hard anything, is that you become rigid and you're not, like, fluid and flexible about things.
And not accepting of
and
other
not,
people's.
And that translates into being not accepting. And so, I feel like I approach a lot of things, like, with kind of a more atheistic or agnostic
skeptical eye.
Yeah, like with a skeptical eye. Like if somebody told me that yesterday they were talking to a ghost or a spirit or what have you, my first instinct would be probably not, but I'm willing to entertain the possibility.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think the important takeaway from all of this is to realize we're all under a big motherfucking umbrella. Mm-hmm. And the more we try to define ourselves by our differences, the worse shit gets, frankly. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's pretty apparent right now in society today. But I was thinking about just our three different practices, which we will get into a little. But none of us really do the exact same thing. And none of us are like, well, you should do this thing that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I mean, we definitely don't fight about that.
Oh, yeah.
That's for sure. I mean, if one thing we all
or
like,
be jealous if one of the others starts gets interested in something that was our thing.
Yeah.
No. Oh God, no. That would be. I mean, that's whatever. We're all very accepting, and also we really appreciate, I think, everybody's practice and like, mm-hmm. Oh, that's so cool. What did you know? How did you do that? What did you do? It's, you know, we're just curious.
Everybody's bringing something different to the table that you can eat, man, and food's great.
God, that's so nice. I like that.
All right. Or even just that, like, people bring stuff to the table and, like, maybe you don't want to buy it your full, but you can still sniff it and it smells good and you like it.
You can appreciate it for its aesthetic qualities.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Maybe it looks really amazing or, yeah.
I think that's the other thing that annoyed me about this Sarah Lawless being disinvited to be the keynote speaker thing is, like, even if she is not as enthusiastically polytheist in a devotional capacity as maybe the organizers are, since when is hearing about someone else's practice harmful to your own?
Off limits.
Yeah. Right. Why is that detrimental?
I mean, I think that there's so many great ways she could have taken that talk, even if they had advised her. You know, we've had some people get their panties in a wad about just how polytheist you are, which, first of all, like, I don't, that's obviously like a spectrum. I don't know where you
think
where
she probably could have addressed that. Yeah, too, but fucking then, like, savvy.
Yeah, she's smart and well spoken. And I mean, I would have loved to hear her talk about, you know, how if you are from a more ceremonial or devotional practice with a single deity or a pantheon, how you can incorporate more animism and ancestor worship into that. Because it can operate independently or in tandem with a devotional practice. So, I mean, that would have been a really interesting topic to talk about. Or, you know, how she's moved away to embrace more of like a bioregional practice in all aspects of her life. And that kind of includes honing more in on local spirits and, you know, spirits of indigenous wildlife and whatnot. You know, I mean, I would have been curious to hear about that, even if she's talking about turning away from an active focus on worship of specific deities. Even if I were coming from that perspective of a hard polytheist, I think it would have been enlightening to hear about that. Mm-hmm. So there's just so many ways that I think that would have been educational.
Totally been the keynote speaker.
I mean,
she
certainly wasn't going to come up and be like, hey, hosers, like, your gods are fake and you're dumb.
Though, more power to you. Yeah. Would have been hilarious.
I had her say hosers because she's Canadian.
Oh.
That's
well another thing that's so great about her.
Wow. So, yeah. Evidently, this really kind of struck a chord with all of us because, I mean, there's so much discord amongst, you know, what we think of as traditional religions in the world that really now, pagans, you gotta fucking get in on this too.
That's discord is just a problem with humanity in general. Yeah, that's the issue.
True. You are here at Hex Rated. We accept all
and
things.
We hate you all. No,
I mean,
yeah, we hate everybody equally.
Yeah, I judge everyone with an equal amount of hate.
They're both lying. They're both very accepting, just not at first. It takes,
like,
a minute.
I think I am a very accepting person.
You are.
Yeah. The thing is that, because we've talked about this before, me and Scarlett, that when you first meet somebody or if you like somebody, you don't think to yourself, wow, look at that fat bitch. It's when they do something that makes them ugly on the inside where suddenly we're like, look at how ugly you are on the outside.
That's...
Yeah. Yeah. When if you cross us, then we sound very petty. Mm-hmm. But we just like to hit people where it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also another topic. I was going to ask you guys, so when you say God or goddess or divine, what do you actually think that is?
Oh, yeah, like just a mental construct?
Like
or
an archetype or like a personification or a real historical deity? Or
both historical deity and archetype? Mm-hmm. Is that the correct answer on the test?
There is no correct answer. That's what's so great.
I'm asking you.
I think I'm answering the question. No, I don't know. For me?
Yes.
Oh, God.
No, for everybody. Tell us.
I'll tell you what the right answer is. I mean, the ones that the gods and goddesses that I typically work with are of the Greek variety. So, I mean, I think they... maybe were based on historical figures. I do not know that I don't know that they actually existed. They may have. And if so, that is also awesome. But to me, they are, I don't know, spirits, symbols, all of the above. God, it's a big, tent to put it. I'm not good with words.
Well, I think the thing is,
go,
that maybe you feel the same way I feel, is that really it's all possible. They could be archetypes. They could be figments of my imagination.
Right.
They could be the pulsating consciousness of subconscious of humanity. I don't know.
I like that. Yeah. I know. Good word.
Yeah, they could be individual entities in their own right who have their own history, who exist independently. And the issue is that all of these are valid possibilities.
Right.
Like, it could all be true. So it's hard to then say, well, which one do I think it is? Because you really don't know.
And I honestly, for my purposes in my spiritual journey, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, they are...
It doesn't make your communication with them or your experiences with them any less valid.
Exactly.
Either, at least for me, in if they are any of the things that they could be.
Right. Whatever the construct is, it's mm-hmm. it works for me.
Yeah, they're working out for me too.
Right.
Yeah. I would agree. I tend to approach deities as kind of archetypes, because I'm also really interested in like linguistics and archaeology. So, you know, they evolve over time, especially the ones that we have like attested literature regarding. So they morph and they get regional variations. So just the history of it, there being a consistent identity for any one attested deity. Plus, I also work with, you know, invented deities and fictional ones and stuff like that. So I think for me, I describe deities as sort of being like a map. So if I were going to give you guys like a map to my house and I drew it on a piece of paper and it's this little like line drawing and you got to my house, then it was a good map, right? You know, like even though doesn't have all the streets and it's not to scale, all of that kind of stuff. So I mean, basically the idea is that if the whole entire universe is the divine or everything's infused with it, that's kind of a lot to swallow at any given moment.
No shit.
So it's a lot easier to pick a piece of it or something that's aesthetically pleasing to you or has a personality that appeals to you or is from a culture or time period that appeals to you,
right.
That has a specific domain that's relevant to whatever you're working with, that to deal with that piece is easier to digest.
Easier than to just throw it out there to the stars and be like, hey, giant thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What labels do you use for yourself as far as like traditions and things like that?
Eclectic. I usually work alone, so solitary. Journeying or hedge riding, do those things, hedge rider. And kitchen witchcraft, I'm really into and focusing more and more on. So those are the labels that apply to me.
Scarlet, go.
Eclectic and solitary, too. Those were kind of buzzwords in the 90s with these sort of do-it-yourself Wicca witchcraft guides. But also, I was heavily influenced by chaos magic, so coyote would be a title I guess I would accept.
Is that a made-up word?
Yeah.
But I really like it.
Well, it sounds like coyote, but
it does.
It's coyote.
Yeah. It's nice.
Hedge rider, shamanism.
Shaman. You are a shaman.
I am not a shaman. That sounds
you
weird.
You could be.
I mean, that the whole politics of that word is a whole other thing. But
yeah.
And, you know, witch. Usually when people ask me what I do, I say I practice witchcraft. Well, which labels would you guys say, like, do not apply to you?
Well, definitely Wicca.
Right.
I don't, like, yeah. I stop myself from getting insulted when people are like, oh, so you're Wiccan. And I'm like, no. But I'm like, that's probably the only word you know that falls outside of the Abrahamic faith. So I won't get insulted by your lack of knowing, but also strict constructionist and hard polytheist. Now,
evidently,
we're talking about
today.
It.
Yeah.
Not one of those.
Also not. Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing with me. I'm not Wiccan. I haven't been initiated into any Gardnerian type traditions. And same thing with kind of not really interested in any mystery or initiatory traditions.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to the concept of a mystery religion or an initiation, but the idea of participating in a group where there is a hierarchy and a sequence of like oath bound secrets and initiations and information that's meted out at this prescribed pace.
And there's not, like, levels and
and degrees and things. I'm just not really interested in that. I think, you know, if you want to keep something secret, then good, keep it to yourself. If you want to be a teacher, you know, teach at the pace that's appropriate. But I'm not really, I think that people get really caught up on degrees and initiations and being a priestess or a high priestess or all of these things, and causes people to be competitive, even if it's just competitive with themselves. So not really interested in that. I'm also not really interested in currents of paganism that have more to do with the sort of agrarian kind of fertility sort of imagery, which is something that I've had to work through with the eight Sabbats, because they tend to be very farmer related, you know, mm-hmm. harvest, planting, all that. I'm not a farmer. I mean, I like nature and everything, but I'm not, that's not my occupation. And my climate's totally different from that anyways. I'm more interested in sort of these more ecstatic type of religions that are more about a sort of imminent experience, as opposed to celebrating fertility or domestic grain cycles. Not really as relevant to me as other stuff. So
that's, no, y'all covered it. I feel about the same way. I am not interested in, or I do not consider myself Wiccan, nor do I try not to get offended if somebody is like, oh, that's the thing. Because, yeah, I know several people that are like, so you are nice and worship trees.
Well, if you're...
I do worship trees.
If you're not Christian, Muslim, or Jewish.
Right, people don't know. So, yeah. I get
and
it.
And you're white.
Yeah, it's a real... throws people away the fuck off. But, yeah, also, I agree. I've never really given that much... I mean, I've given it some thought, the whole, like, grain cycle situation. Like, that really doesn't apply to our culture any longer. Really. I mean, there are still certain sects that, yes, it does, but... not for us. Although, I mean, I can see the birth, death, regrowth cycles as still being worthy, I guess.
But... yeah, I definitely. It's just not really on a yearly cycle,
exactly.
You know? I mean, that could be happening on a daily, monthly, decade, right. whatever type of cycle.
Right.
So, and I mean, we've talked about this in other episodes, but also, like, winter here is not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And even
winter
here is so great.
We have heat.
Yeah.
We have air conditioning.
Not everything dies, even.
Yeah, it's
we
not,
still have green shit.
Yeah, so...
that are not evergreens.
Yeah. So, within that, what would you guys say? Are there any, like, time periods or cultures or regions that you kind of draw inspiration from, or that you find aesthetically pleasing?
I definitely find myself most attracted to Norse paganism and Vikings. I love Vikings. And Germanic folklore, things like that.
Yeah, and I'm all about the Greeks, really. But I also am drawn to some aspects of Hinduism and surprisingly Native American tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's. But this is all really like new discovery for me. So I am just now just scratching the surface of those other topics, except for the Greeks, which have been with me all my life.
Yeah, I would say for me too. I mean, I was raised on Greek mythology and I went through a big Egypt phase, so I love all that imagery and the myths. Right now I'm really interested in Paleolithic cultures, that because the Neolithic started about 10,000 BC, and that's with the advent of agriculture, and when you got, because of that, a shift towards being a sedentary culture, being a less egalitarian culture, being more patriarchal, and most of our myths are from after that period. So trying to research cultures or lifestyles or myths that date previous to that is very interesting to me. And for the same reason that I was saying on the other question about, you know, a hunter-gatherer society, their spirituality and their conception of the cosmos is going to be different than a sedentary culture that's relying on agriculture. The idea of kind of revering a sort of wild forest or wild animal hunting cycle type of lifestyle to me is very interesting. And also researchers think that they were pretty egalitarian in terms of class, that there wasn't a priestly caste necessarily. There were people that served those functions, but not in a
like
ruling everybody kind of
way.
Yeah. And also a lot of equality between the sexes, even if there seemed to be some gendered roles between hunting versus gathering. In general, there wasn't any real inequality between the sexes. So all those ideas are kind of interesting to me. I mean, I think there's always a pitfall of sort of idealizing a time period as being sort of a golden age.
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to do that too much, but I just think it's interesting because that period in human evolution from when we emerged from Africa 100,000 years ago to 10,000 BC was much longer than the period of time that we've been living in cities with the patriarchal culture. So
fact. So yeah, that's fascinating. I would like to learn more about,
I mean, there's always
that kind of stuff.
There's always new stuff coming out, too, which is the other thing that's exciting about it. I am not an expert by any means, but I'm just very interested in archaeology and stuff like that. So, and especially part of what got me into that was being interested in shamanism and journey work, because shamanism and animism are believed to be the oldest forms of spirituality, much older than any other evidence that we have. So that idea of that being sort of something that's sort of hardwired into us, or that we've been evolved, that we've evolved into, or have evolved to grow with us, chicken or the egg, you know, like that concept's very interesting to me too. So
no, that's great. No, that's, and I think that's something I just added to my list. Want to know more about that? I was going to ask y'all, what's some stuff that you don't really know a whole lot about that you might want to learn? I just learned something myself.
Well, Hinduism, I don't really know much, if anything, about Hinduism. Also, Japanese animism, there's a word that I just totally forgot for
Shinto?
It. Shinto. And I feel bad that I forgot about it. But my husband actually knows a lot about it because he just obsesses about things and learns about things. Yeah. But sometimes when I try to describe my beliefs, he's like, oh, that's like Shinto. And I'm like, oh, well, then I guess I should start looking into this and just kind of see what it's all about. But I guess just in general, I don't know as much about Eastern practices.
Right. Oh, me neither.
Yeah, I'm interested in Hinduism, such like a big term. And so like just learning about the different divisions within that and how they overlap, because it's really a big umbrella, and there's very specific trains of thought, and there's places and times where it kind of blends with Buddhism or, you know, other Taoism, and different cultures kind of put their spin on it. So that's all very interesting to me. Obviously, a lot of their goddesses are fascinating.
Yeah, there's so many, too.
Yeah, and so, and just like a lot of, I like the holistic practices that are a theme in certain strains of Hinduism, you know, like yoga or Ayurveda. Things like that, that are more about not just worship, but sort of like a
body, spirit connection.
So all of that's very interesting to me. And I just know that I'm barely scratching the surface. So I'd like to understand a little bit more about the history and how those different flavors sort of divide up. But I'm also interested in researching medieval witchcraft and stuff and accounts of folk practice or cunning practice or witch trial testimonies are kind of suspect. But some of them that were given voluntarily, or things like the Benedante from Italy or Isabel Gowdy from Scotland, some of these voluntary confessions are very interesting. And they don't, in the past, researchers were trying to kind of show those as a link, sort of a vestige of a pre-Christian paganism that survived. I'm not convinced that that's necessarily the case, but I think that it is very interesting to look at what appear to be legitimate documentation of witchcraft type magical practices that are more recent, but not necessarily to emulate, but just kind of for my own edification. A lot of the traditional British witchcraft varieties are kind of drawing from that. And I think there's a lot of interesting stuff there. Not, like I said, not necessarily that I want to adopt, but that I think is very interesting and is research that's been neglected in the past.
It's also worthy.
So just kind of zooming out for a minute, what would y'all say the action or the practice of your craft is? Like, is it healing, or is it doing, you know, worship or devotion? Is it casting spells?
Yeah, like for me, it's mostly, I think all of us might have a couple of answers that are kind of the same, like spirit work, spell work, divination, for sure.
Yeah, I would say that probably me too. I assume Scarlett as well with those three.
Yeah.
And I want to start focusing more on healing.
I think that would be a good path for you.
I think it is my path. That I just am now.
You're right. Now it's not just that it's a good path. It is your path.
I think it is my path. I just don't really know. I mean, I know I can do that with the kitchen witchcraft, but I want to learn. I want to find the thing that I want to do, you know? I mean, I know my pies are magic.
Also
as
true.
You have said.
You guys have no idea about these pies. I feel so
maybe
bad.
Maybe one day you all will.
For all these listeners who don't get the pies.
Out of those, like, do you think that you have kind of like a specific like witch power or skill that's kind of like unique to you, that's pretty strong with the force?
Oh, see, things like that are so hard for me to talk about. I think that I'm good at journeying and hedge riding.
You're really great at divination with runes.
I think that I'm good with the runes.
You are.
Stop saying it as a question. Just say it.
Stop doing that. She's good with runes and she's great with journeying.
See, I'm just not sure. I don't know. I can't. It's hard to compare myself to other people. How do I know I'm good at
it? But it's not a comparison game. I mean,
how do you know you're good if it's not a competition?
No. I think it's about answering the question of what speaks to you when you do the things you do. I mean, I know all three of us have pretty powerful journeys, and then when we relay those journeys to each other, we're all like, oh my God, yeah, that's amazing. This means this or whatever. I mean, Scarlett is great at divination with tarot for sure. Yeah. And I think you've gotten really great with runes. So shut the fuck up. Yeah. This is what I'm trying to say.
Shut up
to
and
you.
Be confident.
Yeah.
I'm great at runes.
Dumbass.
So good.
I'm an expert at the runes. She's very good.
I'd say for me, Scarlett, I'm pretty good at warding and banishing.
That's true, yeah.
I got that, give you that. GTFO energy. I'm really good at finding things. Not she my is. Things. I can't find my things. If I lose my keys, they're gone forever. But I have terrified people by finding, like, their keys or tiny, tiny earring backings or whatever, or their wallet. So much so that people have accused me of sneaking into their home, hiding their things, and then coming back and being like, oh, look, here it is.
That's
awful. Sounds so much more witchy than the shit I just said.
Oh, my God, it's not a competition. And my powers don't work on me, which would be way more helpful.
Like, yeah, it's not really useful on strangers. Great.
I don't know. That'd be kind of great to just walk up to somebody and be like, it's in your bathroom underneath the cupboard.
Definitely fucking speaking.
I think it comes from growing up with a mom that had, like, really poor eyesight. So she'd be like, okay, eagle-eyed child, where is it? Where'd I drop that thing? Yeah, that would be. And I really am into, like, sigils and talismans, like, kind of combining my two loves of illustration and design, and also sort of like history and alphabets and symbols and things like that. So I really enjoy that.
Did you say linguistics yet? Because, dude.
Oh, well, that's not really like a witch.
No, it's not.
But I like words.
It's kind of your jam.
Words are cool.
And I have a note that you guys wanted me to say that I am good at writing rituals.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's true. I tend to be the one that does it.
Well.
Because I just like making spreadsheets and documents.
But your words are so powerful.
Yeah, I know. You have a talent for the writings.
Yeah, the other
I think
time
you guys too. You do too, but you just need to share it. Don't let me just do it all the time.
No.
Because I will.
I need to be able to quit my job at some point and do this awesome shit.
Make pies.
I know, but if I make pies and the pies are awesome, then I can get other people to make the pies, and then I can write more rituals. You see how that works? Well, I think I'm a bit of an empath.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think people naturally, correct me if I'm wrong, people naturally, like, seek me out to divulge their secrets to.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand the draw there. I mean, I guess I'm just an open and trusting, loving person.
Yeah, you're a very accepting person, so people aren't afraid to be like, hey, I listened to all my terrible problems.
I think they need to be a little fucking afraid because,
well, it doesn't,
you know,
feel like they should. It doesn't,
I know.
You don't come off as they should be afraid.
That's true.
Yeah, I think it might be a Capricorn thing because people do that to my mom. Because she definitely gives off this vibe of being, like, very sweet and open.
Come, tell me your troubles.
And nurturing and very gentle, which is hilarious because she is, like, super judgy. And she hates, it makes her physically uncomfortable to have people overshare with her. Like, she's very Presbyterian and Scottish and German and being like, please keep your feelings off of me. So it's hilarious because people will just, like, unload, like, confessions on her, and she's like, okay. But like, inside, she's like, why are you telling me this? Oh my God.
It's true. It's knowledge that we do not want to bear.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you guys give off this, like, human confessional vibe for sure.
I guess. Yeah. All right. I'll take it. I'll accept it. But I think that will help me with the healing aspect of my practice.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure.
When it gets going. So I think that, and I do the tarot.
Yeah.
I'm getting better. I did it a lot when I was a kid and then did not do anything for many, many years. So just now getting back on track with that as a daily thing. And yeah, and I cook things. Put my magics delicious in things. It. Put my magics in it.
Ooh.
Well, and no, it's not creepy like that. Oh. Don't do that. But it's definitely with purpose.
But porpoise free.
Yes, no porpoises. No. But with purpose.
No dolphins. Nice. Dolphin so safe. Sad. Dolphin safe pies.
That would be sad. Sadness.
So what would you guys say, like, is something that is something you struggle with in your craft or you feel like does not come naturally to you or that you're trying to work on?
I'm obviously trusting myself and not being critical.
God, stupid.
See, it's that shit right there that makes me critical of myself when people call me stupid.
Yeah, you're a liar.
Wow.
This is so sad right now.
Devolving into something
terrible. It's okay. Your face is pretty.
It's so nice. Wow. Anyways, Blackbird, what about you? You do have
stunning eyes. You have stunning eyes.
Yeah, if only the internet could see them.
If only. Maybe one day we can do like a camera situation. Not with me sitting on this stool. Which part is funny? I don't understand.
Because my mind's just been on dick all night, apparently. Oh, that's so right. You said camera situation. I was like, pornography.
It's not really. Well, it is called Hex Rated, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a hard time sticking to a routine, really. You know, I really, it's one of those things where I start anew, I get on a roll for a few days in a row, and then I fall off of doing it for, like, weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm trying to be a little bit more forgiving towards myself, like, it's okay. Because I do certain, you know, certain things, you know, say words or do a little ritual with my hands. I do something probably every day and just don't realize it. But I don't have like a set, okay, now is when we read the tarot cards. Now is when we fucking, you know, I mm-hmm. mean, I'm trying to get better at meditating every morning for sure. That's, it's coming along.
Well,
it's a work in progress, man.
Just real quick to interrupt you.
Do it.
Before I forget, I feel like that is a problem that I have, and I think that you have it too, Blackbird, where the ownership of the word, like, witch, in that you think that other people who call themselves a witch, they're so much more interesting, or there must be something special about them. And when I suddenly start calling myself a witch, I feel the same. So I need to be doing things in my daily life that make me able to...
That, like, make you special?
That make me special, right. Yeah. And yeah. I find that issue with the daily practice. That's kind of a tangent, but...
Yeah, but I disagree with my own feelings.
Yes, I mean,
even though I feel like that and you feel like that, I don't think that's really true. It's not true. It's just a false.
We've been witches the whole time.
Right, we have.
Even before we started.
And we're witches even when we're not fucking doing anything magical. Yeah. I mean, right?
Yeah, good point. I don't know. I think I'm pretty awesome, but but no, I'd say my problem is also kind of with discipline. Like, I tend to have a million ideas of things I want to make or write or do, or, you know, I have a stack of like 50 books that are like half read, and I just feel like, one, I probably need to be less ADD and just like go through things one at a time. But also, I just put a lot of pressure on myself to like get so many things done that I get really down on myself when I don't get 50 things done at once, which is obviously kind of unreasonable. Also, I like procrastinate on things because I have so many ideas about how I want something like an art project or something to be, that I obsess over the planning stages of it,
right,
instead of just like cranking out some work and some rough drafts and seeing where it goes. So I kind of use that planning phase to procrastinate or put things off. So, you know, I'll plan on writing a blog post, or I'll plan on drawing, you know, some tarot cards or making a piece of art or something, and I tend to put it off. So I think that, like you were saying, Blackbird, of getting in a routine would be really good for me, just because I feel like when you get the ball rolling, like when you've done like a few little productive things, then you're able to carry that through the day, whereas I tend to, you know, if I sleep till noon by accident, I'm like, well, today's fucked, and then I just don't even try to do anything with the rest of the day, which is a bad habit. But like, yeah, when you start the day fresh and you feel like you're like, yeah, I like made some important phone calls and I went to the bank and now like,
well,
you know.
I think the good thing about going to a real traditional 8-to-5 type job for me is that I do have to walk through my room every morning to get to my car in the garage. And so when I walk through that room, I stop, I ground, And I, you know, ask my deities to protect me and help me walk along their path with them. So that's something I definitely do.
That's amazing.
Every single day. So I'm motherfucking witching around all the time and don't even know. I mean, but like, I feel like, well, I should do some devotion or an incantation or all kinds of shit. Like, dude, I spend too much time procrastinating to really get that done. But it could happen. And I want it. I think I can make it happen. I don't know.
Well, what are your goals?
I believe in me. I don't know, but I want to do something with my backyard because it is a...
I meant like in magical.
Well, yeah, no. I'm sorry. I was getting there.
I know they were connected.
Getting there. Yes. I want to make some sort of space outside because right now I come here for my space, for my outside space. I also want to like do more nature type hikes and stuff because I really get a lot out of that.
Yes.
And like I said already, I definitely want to focus more towards healing, and I don't really know what that means. I know I've shared with everybody here that I've kind of gotten into the oils, the essential oils, and that's really, I think it's made a dramatic improvement on not just my health, but my confidence. And I feel like if I can just figure out, you know, which way I want to heal, is it through energy medicine, is it through herbs, is it, you know, is it a combination of all these things, then I want to do that. So yeah, those are my goals.
Yeah, I want to do more with my outside stuff. Like, I like the idea of having an informal temple, so I feel like having something outdoors kind of fulfills that needs, because it's not like a church or like a chapel or something that's like super permanent. Mm-hmm. And it's outside, so it doesn't exactly belong to me, and it's not like exclusive, like, but at the same time it's got some ritual around it, it's got some design to it. So yeah, I feel strongly about that, especially the idea of it as being like a place I can share with y'all and other people.
Aww.
As sort of, you know, because I mean, I can have like a little patch in my garden that's like my little secret spot, but I like the idea of it being like a gathering space.
Right.
Something about that appeals to me. So that would definitely be one of my goals. I started working on an oracle deck a few months ago, so I really want to get cracking on doing the actual art for that. I've been doing some sketches, and I think I just need to sit down and crank it out because it was coming pretty intuitively. That's a big, long discussion about how that came to be. But anyway, that's a note to myself to finish that shit up. Also, maybe read Tara in public.
Yes.
One of my awesome new lady friends has a shop called Magnolia Moon and Company.
Will you give her a shout out?
Yeah, shouting it out.
Magnolia Moon and Company, where is it located?
That's in McKinney, Texas, and we will post some linkages with this episode. But I've been vending there some of my art and stuff, so I think I might pursue reading tarot. You know, I've been reading since forever, and I read for you guys all the time, but there is something very different about reading for strangers, first of all, because it's cold. Mm-hmm. Obviously there are a lot of narrative things that I can kind of insert into a reading for you guys because I know what's going on with you, but and I know your personality, so it's obviously easier to talk to you and to know what sort of language is going to make the most sense to you guys. But so reading cold, I think, would just be good practice. And then also just the idea of like accepting payment. I think that's something that I feel uncomfortable with, but it definitely puts pressure on it. You know, you feel like you want to give someone their money's worth. So, and putting a monetary value on it kind of makes you like, gives you that sort of stage fright of like, well, am I worth this amount of money? Are they, you know, like it's not something I've ever had to deal with so far, just casually reading for friends and stuff. So I think it would just be a good kind of bucket list experience for me.
Yeah, and if you do it and you're like, oh, I don't,
yeah, then
do
I'm
this.
Like, okay, well, I learned a lesson today.
I tried this thing and it did not fucking work out right. Yeah, and you could do runes.
I've actually been thinking about that. Yeah. Because I really only read runes for people that I know well,
right.
Like the Scarlet reading the tarot, because that's just kind of how it happens. I don't seek people out. People don't seek me out.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be an interesting experiment to start reading for people I don't know, for strangers, for the monies. See what happens.
Well, and especially because I think you've done a lot of personal research on what the runes really mean, like looking at the sagas and the rune poems and stuff, and not just going by the book stuff. Mm-hmm. And you've also been working on kind of developing your own system where you read it with your deceer. So
yes, I have.
So I would, I think people would eat that up, just because there aren't a lot of people that read runes, and the ones that do, it can be very
simplistic because mm-hmm. it's basically like you've got
three sets of eight.
24.
Yeah.
We're like, how many is that?
I was like, shit, how many?
3, 6, 9, 12, 15. Yeah, okay. I only know multiples of three because of that fucking Schoolhouse Rock song. So,
you know, however you got to learn it, man.
Yeah, I'm synesthetic, which is actually supposed to make you like a savant at math, and it does not. I see colors, or I see numbers as colors. And days
didn't
of the
know that about
yeah
you.
And days of the week and like months and some letters, not all of them, but yeah, a lot of people that are like autistic savants that can do like crazy problems in their head, they have like really detailed synesthesia for numbers. Like they see them as like a color and like a shape.
That's
like
amazing.
Texture, like,
I didn't even know that was
like
a fucking
63
thing.
Is like shit. Like a yellow glob that's like kind of spongy on one side and spiky on the back.
What?
Yeah, well, I think it awesome. Is. But so anyway, I saw this awesome video of somebody who was crazy math savant, could do like huge equations in his head. And he had this crazy system, and he showed it two dimensions of how he sees it in his head of these transparencies of these shapes and colors. And so when he does like some kind of crazy equation in his mind, he sees the different shapes like overlapping and creating the new number. It's like
that's
wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it blows my mind. So anyway,
wow, I don't think I can even comprehend that. I'm
supposed to be good at that and I am not. So moral of the story is it took me a second to figure out what 8 times 3 was.
That's okay.
But anyway,
anyways, moving
I
on.
I didn't even go through any of that gyration. It took me a minute to just say it. Shit
you
want to
do.
Do.
Oh, I think yeah. It'd be awesome if we conducted a public ritual too,
I
the three
so
of us.
I think so too. I feel like part of me is being drawn towards not being like a teacher per se or kind of doing some sort of public workshop or class. But I mean, being some sort of public interaction, you know, to the community, I feel like I'm being drawn to that. Although I think part of that is that I'm an Aries and I'm like, I want to be where I'm in charge and I get to talk. So I'm suspicious of that instinct. But yeah, I think doing like a public ritual, I think this in a way kind of fulfills that need a little bit.
Right.
Even though it's anonymous, like I'm sitting here, I'm still addressing an audience and putting things out there.
I assume people that we don't know are listening to us. So welcome, strangers. Right. I don't know. Y'all are both braver than me. I'm not reading for nobody at any time.
You're talking about healing people, though.
Yeah.
I'm just like, hey, dude, look at some pictures. Some words.
Whoa, Eskimo. I'm talking about, like, working on healing. Like, if you got a tummy ache right now.
I don't know
what aspect that's going to go in, but I'm not ready to, like, put my hands on other people. Not in that way. Just, like, I don't even know what kind of power I have yet, so let's rein it in.
So you're talking about doing a public ritual, which I think would be awesome. Have y'all done any kind of public rituals or anything, participated in a coven outside of us or anything like that?
Nope.
Nah, besides basically witnessing those public rituals that we saw at Panticon last year.
Yeah.
That's about been my only experience.
We're going next month. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Blackbird and I are gonna go. So.
And we're gonna miss our Lily.
We're gonna miss her.
It's okay. It's Valentine's Day weekend. Mm-hmm. You're my sweetheart.
Anyway. But have y'all, so outside of like a public or a coven ritual, have y'all done any kind of initiation or like any kind of.
Nope.
Making things official?
When I was in high school, I did a dum-dum. That's not nice. I shouldn't call it dum-dum. I did like a ritual I got out of a Wiccan 101 book as like a dedication to the god and the goddess, which now is not my thing, like
yeah,
the whole god and the goddess thing.
Yeah.
But I still have, you had to write down something on a little piece of paper and tie it with black ribbon. Still got that paper tied with the black ribbon.
That's cool. Did it have something super angsty in it?
I don't know. Maybe I should open it.
Your teenage shit
you
was
pretty
really
angsty.
I was, man.
I'm very articulate.
Oh, this prison. Called my home.
My alleged parents. Yeah.
No, that
conversation.
So alleged? I forgot that.
Oh, yeah. So for all the.
Dude, I'm adopted and I didn't even pull that shit.
Yeah. Well, I put there. Oh.
Shit,
for
yeah,
the
we're
internet,
on the internet.
Yeah, way off topic. Recently, my father found a letter that I typed up and signed and gave to my parents when I was like 12 or 13, where I was very angsty and very angry. And I called my dad father and I put parents in quotation quotes, like they're my alleged parents, like who knows if they're even my real parents, but very articulate and
yeah,
spoken
oh,
angst
super well written really sad didn't get to see the angsty poem that went with
angsty.
It.
But, oh my very God. Angsty. Moving on.
That's okay. It was a great sidebar.
So also,
great sidebar.
When that was going on, I did this little
so it was about the same time frame?
Around the same Kick time. Ass. Yeah. Went through my real angsty goth
I think
phase,
I did.
Apparently.
I think we dabbled in some rituals, but I did not ever do any kind of dedication or anything.
I did like an initiation solitary ritual when I was like in fifth grade when out of same thing as Lily, like some kind of Wicca or solitary witchcraft 101 kind of situation. And I came up with a magical name that I don't use anymore or really had ever. So.
Just was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you could talk about finding your true name, though.
Oh, yeah. So I was going to ask you about that in general, about craft names. So none of us have craft names.
No.
although we do have our podcast names.
Well, yeah. So is that.
So no, not really.
No, we don't use that when we're.
It's just doing, for the podcast. Yeah. So you don't know who we really are, Internet.
Pretty sure they can figure it out really soon.
You don't know who I am, Internet.
Who really knows who you are?
That's the thing about the Internet. No one knows who I am.
Because I, as mentioned multiple times, I'm really into like etymology and words and stuff. And so I have like seriously read a baby names book like cover to cover because I love reading the etymology. So yeah, then I kind of had this desire like do I have a true name or like a soul name or subsequent to some events at Pantheacon, I had a journey where I found my true name or whatever. So yeah, like researching that and trying to figure out like language it's in and what it means and all that kind of stuff has been pretty fun.
But. I did the same thing. Took a journey to find out and asked what my true name was and was given that answer and then promptly went to Scarlett for her to research it for me.
And I did, and it was so
it was pretty rad.
Well, you guys, that was really interesting. I feel like I learned some stuff I didn't know about you, but I feel like
really
we have, yeah
it's new.
Or maybe I just wasn't listening the first time.
Oh, it's all right. Sad it's trombone. Okay. You always listen.
But I think that there's a lot more to talk about deities and the pantheons you guys are into. So I think that this would be a good place to wind it down and then plan on next time talking more about it in a little more in depth. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
That sounds fantastic. And we look forward to the next time with you.
With me?
Well, with the Internet.
You plural.
You plural. But also just you.
Oh, okay.
Hocus pocus, bitches.